Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Yes, we are really here. We had a little technical problem there, but we are here. We are live. And we're glad that you are with us. So welcome to Oh My God, Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If you're listening on 95.9, I doubt tonight that you're on the highway, but if you are, please be careful if you're driving up 95 or the turnpike. If you're on 106.9, you're up on the Treasure Coast, and we're glad that you're with us. Today is President's Day. I hope for those who were off that you had a great day. For those of you who weren't, I hope you enjoyed the traffic-free trip. We have a fascinating show for you tonight. You know, this is a show that I would never have thought of doing until my guest was kind enough to bring me the idea. We're going to talk about swallowing. Who knew that this was a problem? I didn't know until I realized that I myself am beginning to have some problems. And so this is very timely on a lot of fronts. Trust me when I tell you that Dr. Connie Porcaro, who is my guest tonight, will open your eyes to a health problem that you probably never thought about and probably should. And if it doesn't impact you, it may impact somebody that you know. It's really interesting. So more on my guest, and we're going to begin the subject in just a minute. But we are back tonight live, and I am here with my guest. I am here with Dr. Connie Porcaro from Florida Atlantic University. I'll come back with my announcements later. I want to talk about what we're here to talk about tonight, which is about issues with swallowing. Let me tell you a little bit about Connie. Dr. Porcaro is an associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at Florida Atlantic University. She earned her PhD in speech and hearing sciences from the University of Arizona. She instructs graduate courses at FAU covering voice, speech, and swallowing disorders in adults, which is why she's here tonight. Connie lectures annually for the FAU Medical School on the topics of adult neurogenic speech and language disorders. She is certified by the American Speech Language Hearing Association, that's ASHA, and has worked as a speech language pathologist for more than 25 years with clients of all ages. Connie's main area of research has focused on how speakers can have improved communications with their listeners. She has a specific interest both clinically and in research in the area of Parkinson's disease. Connie is co-editor and author of a book for caregivers who are helping a loved one deal with communication-related disorders and with an expected publication date this year. So Connie, now that we're over the problems, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And I should say you've been here before, so you know this is it's not normal. But we are glad that you're here. The issue with swallowing, and I don't know what people heard in terms of my original introduction, it's a much bigger problem than people realize. Why don't we kind of frame the debate, if we will, for the audience. What is the problem with swallowing, and why is it so important?
Well, anybody can have a swallowing disorder. We have babies that are born prematurely. They often have a swallowing disorder. You can have one at any point in your life. And we do find that quite a few elderly people have a swallowing disorder. The technical term that we use for a swallowing disorder is the word dysphagia. So that means disordered swallowing. And as we talk, we'll talk about some signs and symptoms of that. But it's fairly common and can cause some serious and sometimes even fatal problems for people who have issues with swallowing.
You know, the word dysphagia, in the world of Alzheimer's, we talk about aphasia, and I think people get them confused, and they're not the same. This impacts a large number of people, right?
It does. Between 300,000 to 600,000 individuals each year are affected by dysphagia. About 6 years ago at FAU, we did a very large research study of healthy aging individuals. Of course, South Florida is a wonderful place to do that. So the medical school, the College of Nursing, and some other professors like myself were involved in that. And we asked questions to more than 400 healthy aging individuals. And my questions dealt with voice and swallowing. And what we found from their responses were about 11% of those people responding who were healthy people, no disease, no stroke, no any other kind of problems going on, about 11% of them reported having swallowing problems. And that's what we find in the literature in my field as well, between 11, maybe 15%. So that might not sound like a large number, but if you think about 11% of the large number of baby boomers, it actually is quite a few people that are impacted by this disorder.
Oh, no, it's a huge number. I'm just doing the math in my head. In Palm Beach County, we have about 25% of the population is over the age of 65. So yep. 15% of those, you're looking at just 60,000 or more people just in Palm Beach County. It's a staggering.
It is. And those numbers jump significantly if we talk about someone who does have Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, or has had a stroke or some type of disease process as well. Much higher there.
So do we know why it impacts some of the chronic diseases? ALS, I know. Parkinson's was new to me. I didn't know that. Of course, I do know that it impacts people with Alzheimer's and dementia. Is there a direct link between chronic disease and this, or can it affect you even if you don't have a chronic disease? I guess the answer is both.
It is. It can affect you even if you don't have a chronic disease. It would probably be a different onset and different types of problems. But the reason it happens in people, let's just pick on Parkinson's disease, is that the muscles aren't telling the structures of your body what to do. So swallowing is a really involved, complex process. We do it literally hundreds of times a day. You're swallowing your food and what you're drinking, you're swallowing your saliva. So you're not thinking about it, and you don't think about it till you start having problems. But when those muscles are impacted by a disease process or weakness from a stroke, that's when you can really start to have more and more compounding effects.
So is this often misdiagnosed? Or is it just misunderstood, or is it a combination of both?
I would say maybe it's underdiagnosed, because in my experience, I don't think people know that they can get help for this. So that's why I'm so glad to be here to talk with you about this and have more people hear about it, so that they don't feel like, well, I'm just getting old, so it's harder to swallow. Those things could happen at the same time. You could get old and it's harder to swallow, but there are definitely things that you can do to find out why and possibly improve the situation.
So what are the warning signs? What are the things that we should be aware of or paying attention to that tells us that we may in fact be having some issues with swallowing?
Great question. Because swallowing is really complex, there's lots of different things that you could be looking for in yourself or in a loved one. So if you feel like food or maybe your medication that you're taking, some of us take a lot of vitamins or pills, if it feels like it's not moving like it should, that could be an indication. This is one that people don't think about often. If your nose is running during meals, that might be an indication. One thing I want to caution you about when we go through this list, though, is that there could be 10 other explanations for that. So that's why it's important to get with an expert and find out. Coughing is a big sign of a potential swallowing disorder. If something's going down the wrong way, our body's natural reaction is to cough, and that's actually a good thing. That's a protective measure that we all do. We've all had that happen. The medical term is actually called aspiration, and that's when whatever you're swallowing tries to get into your airway or your lungs. That's not where it's supposed to go, and so we cough. We cough it back out. If you're an older person or a person who maybe has an illness or a weakness in your body, sometimes people either don't sense that or aren't strong enough to cough it out. So that aspiration can become a problem. If multiple times food or liquid gets into the airway, that can cause pneumonia.
And aspiration, as you just described, coughing up food that's attempting to go into the lungs or someplace it shouldn't go, that's different than choking.
Great, it is. Aspiration is when if we actually truly do aspirate, the food or the liquid has gone into your lungs. That's what we term that as aspiration. Choking is when that food is blocking your airway. So if you think about, maybe you ate a grape and you didn't chew it well and it got stuck in your airway, it's not moving. It's not going into your airway, so it's sticking somewhere and preventing air from moving in and out of your body, which can be dangerous. And, you know, I think most of us have known or heard that the Heimlich maneuver is what you would do for that. So that people do use aspiration and choking interchangeably, right. Or they say I'm choking when they're really coughing. So it's just knowing the difference between those things that's important.
So I guess I was always taught there really is only one tube going down from your throat, but you're kind of saying that's not true.
I wish I could show you a picture, but we're on the radio, so I can't. There's not. There are two tubes. One is you've probably heard the word trachea. That's your windpipe where the air goes. Right next to that, we are built in an anatomically kind of dangerous way. Right next to that is your pharynx or your throat and your esophagus. And those are the tubes, if we want to call them that. They're muscular, so they move the food through. Those are the tubes that move the food through, but they're very, very close to each other in the body. And that's why it's easy, or can be easy, if you don't have good airway protection to keep the food out of the trachea.
So I've actually had to perform the Heimlich maneuver. And I can speak to its efficacy because she's sitting here.
Good job.
Why does that work? Can you use that both on choking and aspiration, or is it really?
It's going to work for choking. That's what it works for. Because, again, like we mentioned, if that grape that you swallowed is sitting in your trachea or your airway, you're forcing air. When you push on the person's stomach, you're forcing the air back out. So you're going to pop that grape back out. Aspiration is different than that. Because it's already gotten into the lungs if you've aspirated. But we do cough because we sense that. You know, we've all aspirated. It's not going to, you know, kill you the first time that you aspirate because we've all done it. We all say, oh, it went down the wrong way, and you just end up coughing. And you can cough that out. And we can tolerate a certain amount of aspiration as well. But if you're an older, sicker person, maybe somebody in a nursing home, something like that, the amount of aspiration you can tolerate gets to be, you know, less. And you can have a lot of medical problems related to that, like pneumonia.
Do we know what causes these problems?
Depends on the person, I guess. It's very, very different. And it's hard for me to, you know, give you a ABC pinpoint on this particular disorder because it's different across the board. If a person has Parkinson's, we know that their small movements that happen are going to make it more difficult for them to properly chew and move the food in their mouth, which has to happen. So then more problems can happen because of that. They sometimes have difficulty also protecting their airway and keeping that food out of the airway. You mentioned Alzheimer's disease. That type of patient would have a completely different set of problems, right, that would lead to their swallowing problems or their dysphagia.
So, I have so many questions as I told you I was going to have. Let me just say, people can die from this problem. This isn't like when you just go down the wrong, and this is something people could actually really expire from.
If there's,
this is serious stuff.
Yes, if there's chronic aspiration that's happening over time, and again, how much you could tolerate versus how much I could tolerate or anybody else is, you know, it's up in the air. So yes, I mean, people do develop what we call aspiration pneumonia, and that is something that can be fatal.
That's amazing to me. Now, again, just to, maybe this is a little redundant, this is much more prevalent in a senior population. So this is an age-related disease.
Yes, yeah. And there, again, are healthy aging individuals, like we talked about at the FAU study, who don't have Parkinson's or ALS or anything else going on. But unfortunately, when we age, our body gets weaker. That just happens. There's a muscle weakness that happens, and it's normal. And we use a lot of muscles, hundreds of muscles, when we swallow, so that weakness can happen in them as well. That doesn't mean you can't be a normal 96-year-old who has no problem swallowing, because right, I've definitely known and seen plenty of people like that as well. So it doesn't equate to I'm old, so therefore I'm going to have swallowing problems, but your problems could increase as you age because of that muscle weakness that we see.
And the symptoms, and we kind of glossed over them, maybe we'll have time to come back to them later. Those symptoms could be symptoms of 1,000 other things. It does,
yes,
not necessarily a precursor to a swallowing problem. But that is also the other side of that is we have to be aware that they might be a precursor to a swallowing problem. And so it's not something that we can just rule out because we think we're eating fine.
Right.
Right. That's interesting. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We had a little bit of technical problem getting out of the box, but we're well into the important meat of the show. And I'm glad that we are because my guest, Dr. Connie Porcaro from Florida Atlantic University, is here. And we are talking about issues having to do with swallowing. And it is a much more prevalent issue for seniors than we have ever given thought from. We're going to talk about who diagnoses, who diagnoses this, what you should do about it if you suspect you have a problem, why speech therapy is so important, and how you can do that. We're also going to talk about things that you can do if you're experiencing problems with swallowing that can help make it easier. We're going to talk about dental impact. There are so many things that we have coming up, so I want you to stay tuned to my guest, Dr. Connie Porcaro, and me, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. If you have questions about swallowing or this subject at all, you can call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're here. I'm here tonight with Connie Porcaro. Dr. Connie Porcaro from FAU is a specialist in all things speech and swallowing, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about swallowing issues that are so incredibly important in the aging population, and often misdiagnosed and misunderstood. Connie, when we came, before we went on the break, we were talking about the fact that people could die. We talked about the difference between aspiration and choking. We asked about what causes this. Are there tricks that we can do, things that we can do that if we are experiencing problems can help make that a little bit easier?
I don't know if I would say there's tricks. I have some suggestions that are kind of general, but my number one thing I'm going to tell you and your listeners is if you suspect a swallowing problem, you need to see your doctor. Your doctor will hopefully refer you for some testing, and you'll probably do that with a speech-language pathologist, which is my field, speech therapy, speech-language pathology. We sort of became the experts in this area maybe 25, 30 years ago, because if you think about the structures you use to swallow your food and chew your food and to swallow, they're the same structures that we use for speech. And we're the people that are, you know, seriously trained in those areas. And so it kind of became a natural for the speech-language pathologist working in hospitals and nursing homes to be the person to do an evaluation and to do management for that. So my number one tip would be, if you suspect any problems with swallowing, any coughing, feeling like food is stuck, if food is stuck in your mouth and not moving, those types of things, talk to your doctor first. They'll refer you, I hope, to a speech-language pathologist, or you can find a speech-language pathologist to help with those things. But there are some things that everyone can do that will also help swallowing be a safer experience. It's about safety that we want to think about. So not rushing when you're eating and drinking is important. Taking time to chew and swallow thoroughly. Sometimes, you know, we're gulping down a Big Mac while we're driving down the highway or something crazy like that. Like, that's not advisable. But if you're home and you can control that environment, that's good. If you're having problems or you know someone who is, reducing distractions in the environment, maybe not asking someone a question when their mouth is full or having the TV on or lots of distractions might make it easier for someone who's struggling a little bit. Another really important factor in swallowing is the use of gravity. Okay, so when we're sitting in a very upright position, the food goes right down and gravity helps us. Because we talked earlier about muscles being weak, sort of in the throat and the esophagus. Those are tubes that food moves through, or drink or pills. And we have muscles to help them, but as we said before, because we are aging, those muscles might be a little weaker. So take advantage of gravity. It's hard to swallow when you're laying down or you're propped up on a pillow on the couch or in the bed. So when I've worked in hospitals and nursing home facilities, I always train the staff, get these people as upright as possible. If you're sitting at a 90 degree angle, that's going to be the best thing. Making sure whatever you swallow is completely chewed and swallowed before you take another bite, so you're not, you know, wolfing down your food. And another really important thing that I don't think people think about at all is taking care of your, we call it oral care, taking care of cleaning your mouth. So brushing your teeth as often as possible. Our bodies produce millions of bacteria in our mouth. And if you happen to get that in your lungs for any way, like we've talked about before with aspirating, even if it's just in your saliva and you aspirate that, if you get that bacteria in, that's more likely to cause you medically related problems.
So as you were speaking about that, I'm thinking, you know, those of us who are reclining in a recliner while we're eating, watching a football game or whatever, that's not a good opportunity to have that slice of pizza and a hot dog. You really should be sitting up. The other thing I was thinking is all those people who are unfortunately in a hospital, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be sitting up when you're eating there. I was also thinking, how does drink and food differ in this conversation?
That's a great question, and there are a lot of differences between them. If you think about, well, there's all different kinds of textures of foods that we enjoy. We can eat a chewy, tough steak that we like to eat, that we have to chew a lot, and we have to, you know, make sure that that's something we can swallow before we attempt to swallow it. So that involves a lot more work in our mouth with our tongue and our jaw doing the chewing. Again, those muscles could be weak when you get older, so those types of things would be harder. Then there are things we eat that are softer, like yogurt or applesauce or mashed potatoes and things like that. There's some in-between things. And then there's, like you said, there's liquids. Some liquids are thicker than others, like tomato juice is a little thicker than water. And water kind of has, thin liquids anyway, kind of have the ability to go wherever they want. In some people, it's harder for them to control where the thin liquids are going. So I've worked with some patients who had difficulty with that. But I wouldn't say across the board everyone's going to have problem with that thing. And again, this leads back to seeing your medical doctor, getting an evaluation by a speech pathologist. We have special tests that we can do. One of them is called a modified barium swallow study. This is an X-ray of you swallowing. It's a pretty cool thing. So if anybody wants to see it.
It sounds awful.
it's not fun to do, I will say that. And I've had to do it myself rather than just do it to people. But you swallow something called barium, and it's a chalky tasting thing. It's not terrible, but it shows up on an X-ray. So that is the only way that we can really diagnose if someone aspirates and gets that barium into their lungs or not, because I'm looking at you. I don't have X-ray vision. I can't see.
Right.
If you start coughing, I'm going to think, maybe he's aspirating, but I don't know if you really are or not unless I watch that on that special test. So speech pathologists have multiple ways of actually doing an evaluation and figuring out why you're having problems to help you.
So if you just tuned in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Connie Porcaro from Florida Atlantic University. And as you can tell, we are having an incredibly interesting and important conversation about swallowing and about how that impacts the quality of our life and health. We have a whole host more to talk about on this subject, and so I hope that you will stay with us. If you have a question about this, you can call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. On this President's Day, I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm here tonight with Dr. Connie Porcaro. Dr. Porcaro is with FAU, Florida Atlantic University. She is a speech pathologist, and we are talking about swallowing and how it impacts the quality of life, quality of our life, and what we can do to help ourselves if we are having problems, how to prevent problems, or how to diagnose problems. Going to diagnosis, Connie, if I may, we talked about the need to go to a doctor, but what kind of doctor diagnoses this problem?
That's a great question. I don't have a simple answer for you. It depends on the situation. If you are a patient who has a neurological disorder like Parkinson's or ALS, cerebral palsy, something like that, I could see you talking to your neurologist about that. That's the doctor you're probably seeing most often. Sometimes people go to an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat doctor, also called an otolaryngologist, because that's someone who's also familiar with the areas we're talking about for swallowing. Another problem that people have a lot that is related to swallowing is GERD. That's gastroesophageal reflux disease. And basically, you've got the stomach acid from, you know, that we use to digest our food in some of us, and I happen to be someone who has GERD, but it unfortunately washes up a little bit and can cause some pain or heartburn. In some patients, they have no pain at all. They just have a chronic cough. That is, might be something that you see a gastroenterologist, or maybe your primary care physician could work with you on that. And like we said before, hopefully those doctors will make a recommendation to a speech-language pathologist who could do the evaluation and help you with treating the problem.
So let's drill down on that just a little bit more. I think most people would not think this is a problem that a speech therapist or a speech pathologist would get involved in, right? It seems to be an incongruity.
Yes.
Just on the surface, but you'd be wrong. So,
yeah.
So explain again why you're really the practitioner that can help people overcome this problem.
It's a great question. When I'm riding somewhere in a plane and someone asks me what I do and I say I'm a speech-language pathologist, a lot of times people have no clue what that is, for one thing. But then, if you think about it, you get at least communication from it. So you're right. We're a jump and a skip from swallowing, if you think about it that way. And it wasn't always part of our field, but in the last 30 years, it's become very prevalent that the speech therapist or speech-language pathologist is the primary person. We're part of a team in a hospital or a home health care situation or a nursing home working with these patients, but we're sort of primarily directing that. And the reason is the structures we use for swallowing are the same structures we use for speech. Many of them are the same or similar. So we're the ones who are trained in those structures, and doctors have found that, you know, we have become the experts in that area. There's a lot more education required in our field now. You know, I work at FAU and I teach graduate students, and I teach a 3-credit course for a whole semester where they learn about swallowing disorders, and then they go out onto an externship site in a hospital or a nursing home, and they learn more about doing it by working with patients.
You know, it is fascinating to me because, when I talk about what Medicare pays for, right? They pay for physical therapy, occupational therapy, and I often say, and speech mm-hmm. therapy. And invariably, I will get, why would I need speech therapy? This is exactly why.
Yes.
Right? I mean, speech therapy isn't just teaching me how not to roll my R's.
Right.
Right. It really has so much more potential benefit, and it's really fascinating to me how this is intertwined. I think I'm still overwhelmed with all the questions I want to ask you. How does dental health play a role in this problem, or does it?
No, it definitely does. It's very important because, for one thing, like I said before, if we want to eat that nice piece of steak or we want to eat a burger or a piece of pizza or a taco, we need to be able to chew that food. So your dentition is important. Having good, strong teeth to be able to chew those things. If you have ill-fitting dentures as an elderly person, that can be a very, you know, detrimental problem in being able to chew your food properly. So seeing a dentist, and also that oral care that we talked about before, keeping your mouth really clean before and after meals. And that is especially important for people that are hospitalized. sometimes patients have a serious enough swallowing problem, and this isn't an extreme case, where they're not eating by mouth anymore. They actually have a feeding tube. So somebody who's in a hospital, a nursing home might be in that situation. Even those patients have to have their mouth very carefully cleaned by the nursing staff because they could potentially aspirate or swallow and get their saliva into their lungs. And there's tons of bacteria that can form in your mouth if it's not being cleaned, you know, several times a day. So that becomes very important.
You know, the more that we're talking tonight, the more I am becoming aware of the fact that between, for example, sinus issues, GERD, which I also struggle with, eating too fast, not cutting your food off properly. I actually am having I'm having a crown put in tomorrow. I have a temporary now. Dental problems. It's amazing I haven't choked to death. and I'm guessing many of my audience is struggling with some of the same problems. If you are just tuning in, on a very serious nature subject, we're having a little fun now, but on a very serious subject, we're talking about your swallowing health. And it's really, really important. And we may not realize it, but it's much more prevalent than people give it credit for. And so my guest tonight, Dr. Connie Porcaro from Florida Atlantic University, is explaining to us precisely what we should be looking at, why swallowing is important, how it impacts the quality of our life. And we're going to move into not only how it impacts the quality of life, we're going to look into how nutrition plays a role in this, and we're going to be talking about you as a caregiver. What can you do to be alert, be aware, and how can you help? And we'll do that as soon as we come back. If you have questions about this subject, about you have questions to my guest, you can call us. 1-877-960-9960. It's 877-960-9960.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions. We make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Here tonight with Dr. Connie Porcaro from Florida Atlantic University. Connie is a speech-language pathologist. She is an expert in so many areas having to do with speech, language, and most importantly tonight, swallowing. We are talking about swallowing. We've talked about the problems, about how prevalent they are, what they can be caused by, who diagnoses those problems. What we haven't talked about is what to do about them if you have those problems. So Connie, let's talk a little bit about, one, how this problem impacts quality of life, which of course it does, and then two, if you think you're having this problem, besides having it properly diagnosed, is what you teach people to do the cure most often?
Two questions. So first of all, I like your interplay with quality of life. That's really important. If you think about our social life, it is built around food. We meet people for drinks. We have coffee with people. Our holidays are built around food. Family time is built around food, and we eat, you know, 2 or 3 or 10 times a day, whatever we're whatever we're doing. So it's really important. And if you have a struggle with swallowing, it can impact someone's quality of life. I have seen patients start to withdraw from situations, those types of things, and we don't want that to happen in our seniors. We want to keep people as busy and active as possible. There are a few other more health or medically related risks with dysphagia as well. We talked about choking. We talked before about aspiration pneumonia. If you're getting that food or liquid maybe into your lungs, potentially you could have pneumonia. People can get really nervous or anxious about swallowing if they fear that they're going to choke. And then we can see some problems with nutrition, with decreased nutrition, not meeting your hydration or your nutritional needs. And people need to swallow most of their medications. So getting their medications down is also important. Sometimes we think, oh, I can just crush this up. Some medications can be crushed up and it's fine, but not every medication can be taken that way. So you would always need to ask your pharmacist. I would never advise a patient to just crush something and take it in applesauce, even though that's a useful procedure with some patients. You need to check on every medication to make sure that that's okay.
It's really an important point because I've done shows on polypharmacy over the years and the drugs and the interaction with supplements, et cetera, and crushing drugs is a really, really bad idea. I know that we always thought we do that with our kids, get them to swallow the pills or whatever, but you're absolutely right. Well, of course you're right because you're the expert, but and I'm not. But the truth is some pills simply should not be crushed.
Yes.
And you should check that with your pharmacist and or your doctor before you do that. Can most of these problems be cured? You know, I think about the fact that if because we're having trouble swallowing some foods and not others, we tend to eat those other foods, which for me would be ice cream, which I guess you could have too much ice cream. But, I mean, you really can impact your nutritional health, too. So there's a cascading effect of this problem.
Yes, it can be. And there are some things that can be helpful. I have to, again, give you my same response tonight, which is that it's complicated.
Right.
The answer to can these problems be solved? It depends on the reason for it. If you have ALS, if you have Parkinson's, those are progressive diseases. So we're working against that. That doesn't mean there aren't strategies that the speech-language pathologist can teach you that will make your swallowing easier for you. It's very individualized. So, again, without having, you know, a patient in front of me and knowing what their their results were of their tests and their studies, it's hard to say you should do this or you shouldn't do that. But some of the things that speech pathologists do to work with patients is to sometimes modify the diet. We probably wouldn't tell someone to only eat ice cream. I like your idea. That probably wouldn't be recommended. But sometimes we have to restrict certain things.
You and everybody else trying to, my nutritionist is the same thing. You're killing me.
Sometimes we do have to restrict certain consistencies if they're problematic, but it's not a life sentence. I'm not saying you can never have this again. Usually if we do that restriction, it's while we're doing some other therapy to try to make things stronger, better. In patients who've had a stroke, there's a lot of recovery after a stroke. So a lot of times initially in the hospital, they'll have swallowing problems and speech problems, and we see great recovery in both of those things. But both of them recover faster if the patient is doing, you know, speech and language therapy or swallowing therapy while they're having that recovery period. So there are things that we can recommend, and we have some efficacy in our field that shows some things more helpful than others. But it really depends on the patient and what the problem is.
So the one thing we haven't done tonight is to tell people how they can get to you, since you're the expert. And it just dawned on me that we haven't done that.
Yes.
So how do people get to you, and what do they need to come to you?
Well, I am a professor at FAU, so I would love to have people contact me with questions. I can be reached at 561-297-1137, and that's my number on campus. That's a good way to reach me. You can call anytime. And we actually train graduate students in our program to do the things that they're going to go out and do as speech-language pathologists. But I will say we don't do swallowing therapy in our clinic because we're not a medical facility. We don't have the medical equipment and information that we would need to actually do that. So I will probably make a referral for you to go see someone else, because I'm not actively practicing as a speech-language pathologist now, but you can Google speech-language pathologists and find private practices, or talk again to your medical physician and find out if that person refers you to a certain speech pathologist they're aware of.
That's terrific. I'm going to give you a chance to give that number and a website again in a
sure.
little bit. If you just tuned in tonight, we've been talking with Dr. Connie Porcaro, who, as you just heard, is with the Florida Atlantic University. She is a speech-language pathologist and an expert on our subject matter tonight, which is the problems that many of us struggle with swallowing. It doesn't seem like a problem that we talk much about, and I didn't know anything about it until she was kind enough to bring this subject to me. And as you can tell, there's a whole lot surrounding this subject, and it's really, really critical. If you tuned in late, well, the good news is you missed our technical problems, but the bad news is you missed the best part of the show. So you can, however, listen, because we're going to podcast this tomorrow. Yes, we are. OMG, I'm getting. Up will pop on the platforms. You can go to iTunes and you can subscribe in the podcast. OMG, I'm getting. Of course, if you're not a podcaster, and many of us are not, myself included, you can listen to us on palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfortcare, as hard as you want to put a T in there, don't do that. You will not find us. Comfortcare, Comfortcare. Of course, we are on iHeartRadio, so you don't have to be here to listen to us. You can be anywhere. Just download the iHeartRadio app and find us on True Oldies Florida, 95.9 FM, every Monday night at 6 o'clock. And, of course, we also simulcast live on the internet, TrueOldiesFLA.com, locally, nationally, and around the world. Next week, Dr. Karen Gilbert's going to be here. Karen is with Alzheimer's Community Care. She is one of the foremost authorities on the latest developments, both in diagnosis and in treatment of Alzheimer's and dementia. She's been a guest a number of times over the years. She is one of my favorite people because she knows almost everything you need to know about Alzheimer's and dementia, and we're going to be talking about that next week. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Desiree Mearns from the Area Agency on Aging here, your Aging and Disability Resource Center. Desiree has new information which most people are not aware of, and that is the fact that you may no longer be trapped by this year's open enrollment selection. The Medicare open enrollment selection process this year experienced some difficulties, and you may be able to change your election from the open enrollment period. It is groundbreaking. It is critical, particularly if you're not satisfied with the selection that you made. So Desiree will be here in 2 weeks, and I'm thrilled that she will be. I also want to tell everybody that on March 2nd at Ruth Rails at the Weissman Center, we're going to be showing a movie called When All That's Left Is Love. It is a documentary that tracks the journey of one family's journey through end stages of Alzheimer's. It's a very powerful movie. It has won about 25 film critic awards around the country. There have been in over 60 film festivals. It takes first place almost every time it is shown. And Eric Gordon, who is the director and the producer, is also the subject matter because it is about his father. Very powerful movie. March 2nd, 2 o'clock, Ruth Rails. Please don't miss that. It's outrageously expensive as long as you think free is expensive. There is no cost, so I encourage you to come. Also, Wednesday this week at Harbor Chase in Wellington, we are going to be working with Stephen Dunn, who is an attorney specializing in long-term care insurance. He has an entire program for 2 hours. It is by reservation, Harbor Chase in Wellington. If you have long-term care insurance and you have questions about that, he is the man, and we will be there 10 o'clock at Harbor Chase in Wellington on Wednesday this week. We also, for tomorrow, for those of you who are interested, the Area Agency on Aging has its monthly Bagels and Brains. Somebody said that the other day, and they started to laugh because they don't typically go hand in hand. But in this case, they do. You can eat and get smart at Bagels and Brains at 8:30 at the Area Agency on Aging. So I encourage you to do that. So in the few minutes that I have left with my guest, Connie Porcaro, Dr. Connie Porcaro from Florida Atlantic University, Connie, briefly, what's the caregiver's role in this, the family caregiver's role? How can they be additive in this problem of swallowing from perhaps their loved one or themselves?
That's a great question. I think the main thing is to be very observant, to watch what's going on with your loved one. If you see signs of struggle during swallowing or a lot of fatigue after a meal, like a meal shouldn't make you so tired that you can't continue to do the rest of your day. Watching for those signs that we talked about before with coughing, possibly, choking or struggling during swallowing, those are important. And then getting that person to the doctor. After that patient has been evaluated and there's some kind of management plan, then to be able to follow through. So if that person does have any dietary restrictions, it's tough sometimes because, you might think, well, this person's 91 and if she wants to eat cake, she should eat cake. But if she's not supposed to eat cake, then you have to think, is cake safe? And you have to kind of weigh that out. And you know what? In our field, that's a decision that we want the patients to make. It's quality of life versus your safety. And we, as speech pathologists, educate the patient and the caregivers. But the caregiver should be there to be supportive. Like, here's what the doctor wants you to do or to take or to follow those recommendations would be very helpful. But being aware that swallowing can be a problem and that things can be done about it is a big step.
So one more time, if people want more information, what should they do?
Yeah, well, the best way to call me is at my FAU phone number. It's 561-297-1137. If you went to the generalfau.edu website, there's a little search box in the corner, and you can type my name in, which I guess they would see on your website, and they could find me that way through email, anything like that. I'm happy to answer any questions.
And you are such a wonderful guest. I can't thank you enough for bringing this subject to me. I know I learned a lot, and I'm sure my listeners did as well. You're terrific, and
great.
It's really good. I want to remind everybody about this movie on March 2nd at Ruth Rails, 2 o'clock, When All That's Left Is Love, a powerful documentary about the end stages of Alzheimer's disease. Also, because we've talked a little bit about Parkinson's tonight and its impact on swallowing, and swallowing was there, there is a new Parkinson's support group that has just begun. It is at the Devonshire here in Palm Beach Gardens. It is next Monday, on the 24th at 2 o'clock. I encourage you, if you know somebody with Parkinson's disease or you yourself are struggling, support groups are really, really helpful, and I encourage you to be there. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. We're here every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Most of the time, tonight it was like 6:05. Most of the time we're here at 6 o'clock. We encourage you. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Next week, Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care. Dr. Connie Percaro, my guest tonight, thank you again.
Thank you.
You're wonderful. And for the rest of you, have a great week. Happy President's Day. We'll see you next Monday. Good night, all.